You are listening to The Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist. Join him as he and his guests discover how businesses thrive in California.
Well, welcome to The Pilgrim on the 405. We are really blessed today to have some wonderful conversations coming up with a young woman who has given a lot of her life to helping people thrive in California. And these are particularly people who are blessed with a particular way of being in the world. So I want to welcome Courtney English, the founder and president and sustainer of No Limits Learning Center. Courtney, welcome.
Thank you so much, Will. It's so great to be here.
Tell us a little bit about this wonderful project that you have.
So in 2012, I actually discovered that there was a big need in what adults with special needs do after they transition out of the public school system. And I was fortunate enough to work in the special needs community through high school and stayed friends with a lot of the students and parents after we graduated. And as I was going into college and studying, they approached me and asked if I would be interested in looking into developing a school for adults with special needs, something for them to do after they graduated out of the public school system. So in 2012, I started doing my research and just saw that there was a big need out there and decided to kind of try to meet that need.
So let's talk a little bit about the flow of life for someone with special needs. I mean, there are lots of supports in kindergarten, elementary, high school. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yes. So there are a plethora of services all through school for these special needs individuals, all the way from early intervention before they even enter preschool. So there's different services out there for them, available to them, and those kind of drop off after they exit the public school system and enter basically into adulthood. And so that was something that we wanted to be able to continue for them, continue these services and teach them how to live independently and be a part of the community.
So this is not a long-term care facility that you have?
Not a care facility per se. However, we do not have a time limit that students can attend our facility. So they're able to come in at 18 or 22, depending on their needs, and they are able to stay with us as long as they still meet our criteria. So there is no time limit, and there's always different things to learn, and we are able to actually serve. Our oldest student right now is 65, so we're really lucky to be able to serve them for a long period of time.
But the intention is not that they will be here forever.
Correct, yes. So our goal is to have them live as independently as possible and to continue to teach them skills. Whether they continue to live at home with parents or move out on their own, we do have a few students who have been able to move out on their own and live independently and have also gotten jobs, which is really exciting. So our main focus is to, just really focus on life skills and living independently and just how to contribute to society.
And so talk to me a little bit about some of the people who've come through your program and successfully transitioned to either continuing to live with their parents or living on their own and contributing to society.
Yes, yeah, so we've actually had quite a few students who have come, and we've gotten a lot of feedback from parents as far as their independent living skills and how much more they're doing at home on their own and, you know, helping out with the family or at their church, volunteering there and doing different skills that we have taught them at our learning center. And also just contributing to their family, starting to cook or clean and help out with things that, a lot of people think that they can't contribute or help with. And they're doing that now, which is really exciting. We do have a few students, like I said, who are now volunteering at their church doing different clerical skills that we've taught them. And we actually also have another adult who's living completely independently on her own And she just comes to us for additional academic classes and life skills classes.
So talk to me a little bit about how they're, what they're doing in terms of jobs, because you help them find jobs, right?
Actually, we do some vocational skills, but our main focus is life skills.
And if somebody wants to find a job, what do they do?
There are other programs out there that do help them find jobs. There are different regulations that are just changing within this last year. That makes it very difficult for an individual with special needs to obtain a job, where before they were able to be paid by piecework or, you know, different things like that. And now it's actually they are having to do competitive employment, and the requirements are that they need to be able to make minimum wage at least. And so that's really hard for, you know, our students who maybe can't keep up with someone typical of their age. And so that's been a big challenge this last year as rules have changed with that. It's great that, you know, they're being held to the standards as everyone else, but it is also a difficult thing for them.
Wow, well, that's a kind of a mixed bag, isn't it?
On the one hand,
to want to respect them and to be able to support them at the level that other people are supported. On the other hand, I think there was some advantage to offering people who could do certain things at a lower cost.
Exactly. And that's really hard for the employers as well. You know, of course, they need to look out for their businesses and do what's best. And, you know, you can be a very compassionate person, but you also have to, you know, be there for your business and do what's right in that aspect as well.
Right. So do many of your many people who are coming through your program wind up living at home, or they wind up living on their own?
The majority have continued to live at home, and they do eventually want to venture out on their own. And so we are lucky enough to have a lot of younger consumers, so in their 20s or early 30s. And so they're kind of just starting to venture out on their own and kind of figure out what they're wanting to do for their life plan, if it's live with parents, or we've had a few parents who have gotten really creative and made back houses, which, you know, gives their children, you know, that sense of independence as well. But it really varies for every student. But we're kind of on the younger age range. So they're kind of just trying to figure out what they want to do.
Well, talk to me a little bit, if you can, about the kinds of disabilities that you work with.
So we serve a variety of disabilities, from Down syndrome to autism to cerebral palsy. Some of our students are just intellectually disabled, and we serve a variety of different students.
And now I understand that it wasn't an easy ride to get this started.
Yes, you're correct. It actually took me about 3 years to be able to start our venture. And it was a challenging road. And I was actually surprised to see how many people were not versed in the special needs community and the needs out there. It was actually quite shocking to see. And so that was part of the challenge in getting this started was, first and foremost, it was educating a lot of people, educating cities as far as where we fit, you know, in a city, as far as occupancy codes and different things like that. The fire department as well, you know, their codes are very strict, and they weren't really sure where to put us as well. So
tell me what you mean. They didn't know where to put you.
So when you start a business, especially one like ours that has, you know, individuals with special needs, you are put through the city an occupancy code, and then through the fire department, you're also put under a different code. So we kind of have a very special niche. A lot of our students are high functioning as well. And so it's something different from a residential facility or, you know, the institutions that they used to have where, you know, they kind of want to revert back to that and put everyone in the same box, which doesn't really work in our case. So, like I said, a lot of starting up was just educating, you know, the public on that, and that we're an individual niche and, you know, it needs to be looked at separately versus putting us in the same category, which puts a lot of unnecessary requirements for us.
And so you had a lot of education to do, and there was resistance from the community?
Yes, which was quite shocking for me. I guess I've, you know, kind of grown up, and my parents, you know, always had me around people with special needs, and I was always very comfortable with that. And it was quite shocking to see how many people were still, I guess, not as accepting as others.
Were they afraid?
Afraid, yes.
What were they afraid of? Did you find out?
Mostly was bad experiences that they've maybe had in the past, or just someone actually tried to ask if our students had any sort of criminal record or background, and then also asked if it had any similarities to Alzheimer's, which is very different. They were worried that our students were going to be, you know, wandering in the street and different things like that. So as frustrating as it was, you know, I just had to be compassionate to those people and educate them and not get frustrated with, you know, their previous experiences or, you know, their initial thoughts, and, you know, just had to kind of work my way through that.
It seemed like you had to do a lot of forgiving.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. It was tough. It was really tough. And especially people who are, you know, in the higher up of cities and fire departments, it was really challenging just to see their stance on it as well.
Did you get the sense that they were using their regulations to exclude you, to keep you out?
It did seem like that. Yes. And of course, I'll never know 100%, but there were definitely times that it seemed that they were using their power and authority to not have us in a city. And so we were very fortunate when we went to Brea. Brea has a great city council, planning commission, and the fire department as well. They've been nothing but compassionate and helpful, and just excited to have us there. And they've really come alongside us and have done whatever they could to make our stay there.
I understand the mayor of Brea got behind your project.
Yes, actually, yeah.
Who was that?
The former mayor, which was Brett Murdoch. He kind of heard what challenges I was having in another city and came up and met with me one day and said that he wanted to help in any way he could. And I did some public speaking when we were going through some challenges, and he happened to hear one of my speeches, and he approached us and spent countless days and hours trying to find a facility for us and just helping us through the process with the city. And he was great, and we wouldn't be where we are today if it wasn't for him. So
now, talk a little bit about what your mission is. How do you see this mission? I mean, this is not just this is a way to make money.
Yes. So basically, I just wanted to create a space where these individuals were loved, cared for, safe. You know, you hear all of these horror stories of what some other individuals with special needs have been through. And actually, some of our students have some unfortunate events that have happened in the past. And so, you know, I just wanted to break that. And I wanted parents to be able to drop their students off and just feel comfortable and assured that their students are going to be loved and cared for and reach their fullest potential too. There's so many other places that, you know, just don't see how much they can offer to the community. And I think we have the most amazing staff. I just can't say enough about them. It's not a job for them. This is, you know, their passion, their life. They give up their weekends to watch them play sports and
their ministry.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, their ministry. We actually just had a dance last night, and we had staff there till 9 o'clock at night helping with that. So we've just been really blessed, and just the abundance of love that we have at the center is just amazing.
Well, how can people help you?
So, of course, we are a nonprofit, and so we are able to we get the majority of our funding through the government and through the state, which is very helpful. But we also do a lot of fundraising, and there's always different ways that we are wanting to improve our program. And we are actually at capacity right now, and we're looking to expand. And so, you know, even just advice, we've had a lot of people contact us and have financial advice or, you know, expertise in nonprofits and Anything like that is helpful. We love volunteers. Our students love having people come in and help and be with them. And, you know, that's always great as well.
So where do you look for volunteers?
Within our little community, we've had a lot of volunteers approach us and want to come in and help during the day. We actually partner with Cal State Fullerton. We have a lot of interns coming from them, which has been great, and our students have loved them. And actually, we've hired quite a few of our interns as well, which has been great. So, but just the local community, we have a lot of people who come in and just want to spend time with our students.
So do you ever talk to churches and offer them the opportunity?
We do, yes. And actually our dance that we had last night, we had a local church group come in and hang out with our students and serve them, which was a lot of fun.
To me, one of the things you're talking about is help, when you said to help people reach their fullest potential.
Mm-hmm.
My experience with disabled folks is they live the life that they see is a different from people who are, I don't even know what the word would be, not disabled.
Mm-hmm. Typical.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But they see life differently.
Definitely. Absolutely.
Talk to me about that.
So one of the biggest pushes, like we talked previously, is about employment. And a lot of our students don't see the necessity in that. And so it's great to teach them job skills and vocational skills, which we definitely do. And some would love to have a job. And so, you know, we try to come alongside them and help them with that. But a lot of them, you know, just want to continue to be happy and healthy and safe. And so a lot of times, you know, we just do whatever we can to make them happy and doing what they love. Mm-hmm. And that's different. We have one student who loves dance. And so she now teaches dance classes at our center for other students. And, you know, anything like that, we just try to nurture, you know, all of their different abilities and things that they are passionate about and just, you know, try to help them with that.
Would you say that a lot of the people you work with live more in the now than in the future or resenting the past?
Absolutely, yes. They definitely live in the now, and in a good way, though, in a good way, different from us.
Well, I mean, there are people who pay thousands of dollars to be with people like Eckhart Tolle, who's going to tell them, live in the now,
right,
and let's talk about that. And this is a big discipline to be able to do that. And here we have in our midst people who do that joyfully, easily.
Exactly.
I mean, it's their world.
Exactly, exactly, yes. And there's just so much to learn from them. I mean, like you said, living in the now, they don't think about the past. They don't think about the future. They just want to be happy. And
well, they are happy.
They are.
I mean,
absolutely.
That's, my wife works with, I mean, she teaches. It's one of her doctorate was in special needs.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's teaching at Cal Baptist University, and she teaches teachers to be able to work with kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've had the privilege of being with a lot of people with Down syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And they are joyous.
They are.
And
yes.
That's not a put on. That's not a denial. That's real.
Yes. It's very contagious.
Yes.
A lot of people say when they come into our school that they just forget all of their problems that are happening outside. And it's just like, you know, one of our parents say that a lot of people say Disneyland is the happiest place on earth.
Right.
And she thinks No Limits is the happiest
right.
place on earth. And yeah, they have a lot that we can learn from.
Well, that's amazing. And I think that's a really important piece because we so often see disabled people. I mean, even the words that we use, it's something that, you know, that dis part of able, that's, there are things that they experience in life that we can learn from.
Exactly.
And we should be learning from.
Yes, absolutely. We definitely should.
How do we do that more?
I think just being around them and just learning what we can from them and just the way that they live life, you know, so carefree and innocently and passionately. Just being around them and submerging ourselves in that, I think, is just something that everyone should do.
Well, we're going to take a little break here, Courtney. Can you stick around? We're going to talk. I want to talk a little bit more about this whole experience of the world that disabled people have. And we should come up with a better word, right?
I agree. Yes, right. Definitely.
So we'll be right back with the Pilgrim on the 405 and Courtney English right after we hear a word from our sponsor.
Hi, time for another tip from the Sandler Sales Institute. Prospects want your information and expertise. Prospects have been trained by the vast majority of salespeople to feel entitled to your valuable information. Most salespeople are comfortable in coughing up their expertise for free. However, when the orders don't come and the prospect has shopped your information to your competitor, the salesperson has fallen victim to unpaid consulting. Before giving information, ask good questions. What does the prospect want? What is the urgency? What are the consequences of not buying anything? What is the decision-making process? Eliminate unpaid consulting. This has been another Sandler Sales Institute tip.
All right, back to Will and his guest.
And here we are back with the Pilgrim on the 405, talking about how to discover places in Southern California where people are thriving. And one of them, Courtney English has been talking to about in her learning center, No Limits, working with, I just hesitate to use the word disabled, working with these wonderful people who are experiencing the world in a very different way. So tell us a little bit about what that's like.
Every day is different. Every day is different at our center. We have so many different stories and, fun things that come up. And our students are just contagious to be around. And, you know, we've been so fortunate. And a lot of people say, you know, it's not coming to work every day. And it may sound so cliche, but I feel like I haven't worked at all these past 3 years. It's just a passion of mine. And I'm just so fortunate to be able to be around this community and serve them every day.
Well, tell us a little bit, give us some examples of what it's like. Let me tell you, you may infect some people with a real enthusiasm to come and try to experience this. So
I hope I do.
Well, go right ahead. This is your opportunity.
So, I mean, just walking in the door every day, I'm greeted by 20 or 30 students with hugs. And we have one student who his thing is he's wanting to make coffee for everyone. So we have a little line of students that line up for coffee in the morning, and he makes them coffee and makes all the staff members coffee. And that's what I'm greeted with every morning. And just students who are just excited to be at school every day, and just excited to be amongst their friends and peers. And it's just infectious there.
All right. So as people grow deeper into this, do they become comfortable with the world as it's presented to them?
They do, actually. I have a really good friend. He's actually one of my best friends now that I met in high school, and he has Down syndrome. And I remember the first time I met him, he was so shy and reserved and very intimidated by being around big groups of people, especially typical people. And, I was friends with him all throughout high school and worked with him through high school. And then we were friends outside of high school as well. And he would come and hang out with my friends, just as one of the group. And just to see how he has grown these past 10 years now, actually, he will go up and talk to anyone, and he has confidence and just this ability to be so carefree in life. And he's not intimidated anymore. And so many people have accepted him, and, he doesn't see himself as different than anyone else. And that's amazing.
But he does have this wonderful experience that he can bring to other people because of his difference.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. And I think people see that as well. And, you know, oftentimes we're so insecure about different things. And just to see someone who does have struggles in life every day, you know, he struggles with different things. And just to see, you know, how he's living his life and how happy he is. And I think everyone around him, you know, learns from that.
Well, who doesn't struggle with life every day?
Exactly. Yes.
To me, there, some of this has to do with somehow identifying with a person who is given some limitations, mm-hmm. and then being afraid that maybe we would be like that. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't be able to function if we were, or I wouldn't know what to do if I had that kind of thing.
Right. And you know, I think that's a gift that they have. They don't feel that way. They don't. And they've grown up and they've overcome, you know, any of the struggles that they've faced and any challenges, you know, that they have. They've just overcome that. And it's so amazing to see that.
Now, part of that has to do with your good work, right?
I would hope so,
yes. Well, I mean, creating the environment for them to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me ask you some tough things. And you can certainly say it's not something we talk about, but what about personal relationships? I mean, these are folks that are growing. They're in their 17 to 35 years is their mm-hmm. primary area of service.
Right.
This is a place for people to come to discover the joy of other people.
Yes, absolutely.
So talk to me about that.
And to be honest, that's something I did not think I was going to have to deal with.
Mm.
And it's something that came up within our first week of opening. And it's something that's very normal. And, you know, we just do our best to be a good example for them in how relationships should be and what's appropriate and what's not. And we just try to teach them those boundaries and, you know, just try to be a good example for them. And, you know, there's obviously things that come up that are super uncomfortable, but that's our opportunity to teach them. And, you know, what better way than, you know, to teach them inside a safe environment.
Mm-hmm. So are there people who form long-term relationships?
Absolutely.
Get married?
Yes, actually, one of our students is married. He's been married for 7 years, and him and his wife live together at his wife's mom's house. They have the whole upstairs to themselves, which is great. And, of course, things have come up that need to be talked about as far as what's appropriate and what's not and what you should talk about in public and what you should not with your relationship. And, you know, it's great to see them grow and, you know, grow together. And it's a very pure relationship. And, you know, we see that all throughout our school. And we have some people that are in talks of getting married. And, mm-hmm. you know, of course, that's a big challenge for parents as well. It's a big commitment because oftentimes, you know, they're not able to live on their own. And so, you know, that's one set of parents who are committing to, you know, having another person, you know, in their home. And so, you know, it's challenging for parents, but we have great parents too, who, you know, that come alongside their students.
Well, do you help parents think through the long-term consequences of having kids, who are going to outlive them?
Yes, absolutely. We do have some difficult cases where, there's no other siblings and, parents are elderly. And there are some great places for students like that. And even though I wish I could take them all in my home, but there's some great group homes out there, great family homes. Mm-hmm. They're now moving towards families opening up their homes and having individuals with special needs live there with mm-hmm. them. And, you know, I think that's great, too, because that's a family environment mm-hmm. Where group homes are great as well, you know, giving them almost like that dorm life, living with friends and things like that. There are some great group homes out there as well. So we definitely, especially because we have adults of all ages, are constantly, you know, dealing with that with parents and students as well.
So this is a whole environment that you're working with, not just individuals.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
So can I ask you a really tough question that I'm curious about?
Sure.
And so we have boys and girls. Mm-hmm. Do we ever have any gay special needs?
Yes, actually, that is a great question. And I know people have different theories on, you know, people that are born that way or and I believe just with what I've seen, they are born that way. Mm-hmm. And whether they have special needs or not, that's part of them. And, you know, we have just like typical people, we have parents that are not okay with that and tried to, you know, steer them in the other direction. Mm-hmm. But then we have other parents who, you know, just embrace everything about that individual and about their child.
So it becomes just another special need.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes, and absolutely.
It seems to me that one of the things that I have learned from my wife mm-hmm. in her work is that we are all special needs people.
Definitely.
Right?
I would have to agree with that. Yes.
And to the extent that we can begin to understand that we are all special needs, mm-hmm. then there's not that much difference.
You're right.
It's more like we all have our own specialty. And what's wonderful is discovering that specialty that someone else has.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yes. And I love that way of thinking. And you know, I wish more people would think that way.
Well, and that may be part of the fear that you encountered as you were thinking about and asking about and proposing that you'd put this special place in that place where people were not as flexible, thinking that they didn't have special needs. They were normal.
Mm-hmm.
And the worst thing that could happen was that somebody would discover that they weren't normal.
Exactly.
And then what would they do?
Right, right. Yeah, and we've, you know, just within our neighboring businesses around us, we've kind of broken that barrier, which has been great. We have students who go and deliver cookies at Christmas time or anytime we have an event, a taco guy over, you know, we invite all of our neighbors and they love, you know, they're getting to know our students and looking out for them as well. And it's just great. It's great to see, you know, the community around them, you know, kind of adjust and see like, oh, this is okay. You know, like they're not a whole lot different than I am.
Well, have you noticed the kind of transition that I've seen very often when we're dealing with special needs, whatever kind of special needs that make people different,
mm-hmm.
which we all have, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
But as we begin to reveal, you know, talking with people who reveal to their parents, I'm special because I'm gay. I'm special because I have this limitation. I'm special because I've all of these specialties.
Mm-hmm.
Now, have you noticed that it begins with a fear,
mm-hmm.
and then it moves to if they make the transition, then it's a kind of charity.
Mm-hmm.
I will do this because they can't do it for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking out for them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the one that has the potency, and they don't.
Mm-hmm.
I will take care of them. And then the next stage is an aha. They have something that I don't have that I want.
Mm-hmm.
They have something that I can learn from.
Mm-hmm.
And the next stage is a celebration, first of their specialness and then our own.
Mm-hmm.
Have you observed that?
Absolutely.
Well, tell me about that.
Even, you know, as crazy as it sounds, with parents, you know, they, of course, see their children grow up and, you know, because they have special needs, a lot of them, you know, want to protect them and do things for them. And it's so amazing to see parents come in and sit for their meetings and we'll tell them, you know, your student has done this for the last 3 months and they're great at that. And things that parents never knew that their student could do, you know, vacuuming, for instance, a lot of them just assume, you know, they can't help around the house, you know, I'll do that for them. And it's just amazing to see parents, you know, discover these things that their students are capable of doing.
Which is a kind of enabling impotence.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And then just to see that joy of their students contributing more to, you know, the household in different ways. It's just great to see that. It really is, to see them all working together and, you know, being treated like a typical adult of their age and being able to do things like that. And, you know, it gives them such pride as well that they're able to accomplish those tasks individually. So
one thing back in the late 60s, early 70s, there was a African-American saying, I think it came out of that community, that God doesn't make junk.
Mm-hmm.
And discovering that people with special needs are not God's junk.
Mm-hmm.
They are God's gift to mm-hmm. a world that so often gets all caught up with desires of the future and despair about the past, and they completely forget about
mm-hmm.
that tomorrow is Valentine's Day,
right?
And it's that wonderful presence of the now mm-hmm. that these kids bring to, well, not just kids, but these people with these wonderful specialties
mm-hmm.
that can help us to discover our own specialness.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, I just think people that are in the special needs community, they see these individuals through God's eyes and, you know, the value that they can bring. And I think, you know, that's all of our hope, is that everyone can see them, how God sees them, and, you know, what a gift they are. You know, to this world.
Well, and I think that if Jesus were to look at people, he would not use the word disabled.
Right.
And maybe he would use the undiscovered gifts,
mm-hmm.
but somehow he would see us all not the same, mm-hmm. but he would see us all as equal.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And now, this is where I want to thank you, because that facility that you have is not just a facility that serves the disabled.
Mm-hmm.
You know that, right?
Right. Yes.
You become one of the leverage points for all around Brea and all around Orange County and California and beyond mm-hmm. to discover, oh, we are all special.
Absolutely. Yes.
And what I want to praise you for is your willingness, your backbone to keep fighting through that until finally Murdoch comes to you and says, I have a place for you.
Yeah.
We're going to find a place for you. And without that kind of commitment from people, we lose the opportunity to find, to really discover the abundance that God has for us.
Yes,
right?
I agree. Yes.
So I just wanted to praise you and all those people who helped you to do that.
Thank you.
Because you do that for us.
Mm, thank you. Yes, and I could not have done this on my own. Family and friends in the community, you know, have made this possible.
But you let it. If you had wavered for a moment, right,
mm-hmm.
it wouldn't have happened.
Yes.
And we need people like you to take those stands in the place where people have their most fear.
Mm.
Because the reality is there's nothing that we have to be afraid of.
Yes, you're right. You're right.
I mean, in fact, wasn't that one of the, I don't know if you can call it a command, but a direction, a part of the discipline that Jesus gave us? Didn't he say, don't be afraid?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. He did. Yes.
And that's not just denial. It's not like, oh, well, I'm going to hold my breath and not be afraid, not let anybody know I'm afraid. That really is, get to the place where you have no fear.
Yes.
And that's the very people that you work with, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They do not have fear.
No, they don't.
They are fearless.
Yes.
And people spend dollars, many dollars, lots of time, lots of resources to become fearless.
Mm-hmm.
And all you really have to do is come down to the No Limits Learning Center and spend a little time and experience and become fearless.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely.
So how do we get more people to experience this in Brea, Orange County? What should they do?
I think, you know, just looking around in your community. There are programs all over the place, all over the world, actually. And, you know, just taking a look into that community and seeing what's around you and how you can get involved and help with that. You know, Special Olympics is all over the world, and that's something, you know, to be involved with. And, you know, and just doing research as well and informing yourself of this community and again, just getting involved as much as possible, I think would make this world a better place.
Well, all right, so let's warn people in advance, right?
Yes.
While coming because you feel like you ought to help people who were in trouble or had needs, mm-hmm. that's certainly okay.
Mm-hmm.
But be prepared that when you come, you will be challenged to make huge changes in how you see the world, how you hear the world, in fact, how you experience the world,
mm-hmm.
right?
Absolutely, yes. Oftentimes we think, you know, we're bringing something to them, and more often than not, you know, they are bringing things to us and teaching us life lessons.
And you see that every day, right?
Every day,
right?
Yes.
So let's challenge people. Let's challenge people to try.
Mm-hmm.
Simply to put themselves in a place where there are folks with these special needs and begin to discover not only the great value and abundance of people with special needs, but also what we can learn about our own specialness.
I think that's a great challenge for everyone.
All right. Well, how would they get in touch with you, Courtney?
So they can visit us on our website, which is www.nolimitslc.org. We also have a Facebook and Instagram page that they can follow us as well. And our website is probably the best place to find more information, and you're able to contact us through that.
And if they wanted to call you and talk to you personally?
They can call our office line, which is 714-674-0368.
One more time?
714-674-0368.
Well, thank you, Courtney, for being with us, and thank you for allowing us to recognize you as one of those people with great backbone and great insight and great support in helping to challenge the rest of the world, not just to take care of people with special needs, but to discover our own specialness and how we live in this abundant life, especially in Southern California, that God's given us.
Yes, and thank you so much for having me.
Oh, good. Well, there you have it, another way to thrive in Southern California. This is the Pilgrim on the 405 wishing you and all your friends a great time, and also challenging you to find those places of specialness in our lives so that you too might discover your own specialness.
Been listening to The Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist. To hear more of the programs in this podcast, go to www.willcrist.com.